crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake. Happy haunts materialize.
And we begin to vocalize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize. Now don't close your eyes and don't try to hide.
For a silly spook, they sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to socialize.
This is Missing the Mouse. I'm Jeremy Pettigrew.
And I'm Brad Bertelsen.
And this week, we're going to be talking about the sounds of the Haunted Mansion.
That wasn't creepy at all.
Well, I got to be a little bit haunted.
No, I said, I agree. I think that's what you were going for. I think you just failed horribly.
Oh, you were mocking me.
Yes.
I see.
I was mocking you. Because, you know, I mean, we had this really good intro, and then, by intro, I mean our previous episode regarding the Haunted Mansion, the intro to the Haunted Mansion, and then you go and you just totally fall flat on this intro.
How about the sounds of the Haunted Mansion? Is that better?
Much better.
Okay,
much better.
Cool. Awesome.
Not really, not at all. I feel like this is the part where I should hold up your address for people to contact, but that'll work. So, the Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion. For me, the most iconic thing about it is grim grinning ghosts.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and it's because, you know, what's funny to me is in preparing for this episode, I started thinking, I was like, okay, so the music of the Haunted Mansion, the sounds of the Haunted Mansion, all that I can think of is Grim Grinning Ghost. Why can I only think of Grim Grinning Ghost? And then you go to look and you're like, oh, because that is the music of the Haunted Mansion, is Grim Grinning Ghost.
Mm-hmm. But man, it's so good.
Yes, and it's so varied in the way that they use it throughout the attraction, because here's the thing: when I say Grim Grinning Ghost, you immediately think of, like, what part of the attraction do you think of when I say Grim Grinning Ghosts?
The dance.
Okay, so you think of the ballroom.
Yes.
The ballroom with the kooky organ sound or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
See, for me, it's all about the tombstone singer, or the bus singers.
You're right, that's it.
You know, because if I think of the song Grim Grinning Ghost, I'm thinking of, you know, the lyrics to Grim Grinning Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And therefore that's what it is. But that song is playing throughout the attraction, and it takes so many different forms that they manage to make it all sync together with,
mm-hmm,
almost not seeming like it's the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the back of your mind, you know, it's the same thing going on.
And I think the fact that you and I both thought of different things is what makes it so great. It's not really even the soundtrack to the Haunted Mansion, it's the score to the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
You know, in the
yes.
way that, like, Indiana Jones, John Williams wrote the dun dun dun, and throughout the movie, that is the basis for almost every piece of music. You know, they all come back to that. And I think everything in the Haunted Mansion, no matter if you're in the queue or in the stretching room or, you know, in a doom buggy or leaving even, you know, I feel like everything in the Haunted Mansion comes back to that chord progression, that song.
Yeah. And, you know, and you bring up a good point, and that is, you know, in a lot of movies, you know, and Indiana Jones is a great example of that, but there are so many movies where, you know, they take the base score for the film and adjust it in different ways, and, you know, they put in little bits of it into other songs that make up the rest of the soundtrack. But Haunted Mansion, I think, is unique in that it really pretty much is the exact same song.
Right, just some are instrumental, some have the lyrics, some, and different instruments,
different time signatures.
Uh-huh.
To it. Because, you know, you bring up the kooky organ one is great. You know, the ballroom scene,
and it's much quicker, isn't it?
Or is it
slowed down?
I was about to say it is, and it's not. But what makes it stand out to me is that it's a, you know, it's a waltz.
Mm-hmm.
So it just has a totally different feel to it than the rest of the, you know, than the rest. Like, that song sounds completely different than when you hit the graveyard and everybody's jamming out to it,
mm-hmm.
which at the same time sounds totally different from like the foyer as you're entering the haunted mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Buddy Baker, I just, wow, mm-hmm. you know, and creating music that can seem a little creepy and spooky, but also can be, you know, in kind of a fun way. I don't know. For me, the ballroom doesn't evoke fright.
Mm, yeah, it does not. You know, and we always come back to this when we're talking about the Haunted Mansion, is invoking fright versus invoking, you know, laughs. And that's something that I feel like the music does too. You know, the waltz is very, very relaxing, very much it's almost an intimate version where, you know, you see these people together, and a waltz is very much a flowy kind of a music. And then, you know, the part where the busts are singing it, that's the pretty much the song, and it's kind of got a, you know, it's a da 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 da, da, and it's very
punchy.
It's punchy and more fun. And then there's the parts where it's very slow and very drawn out and instrumental and played on the organ. And those are the times that invoke, you know, the creepiness and the frightened feelings and stuff, for me at least.
Yeah. And what's nice is even when it's done in that way, it doesn't really hit, you know, just utter dread or right. anything. But it does, you know, it puts you a little bit, I think, kind of on edge, if you will. And you know, what's cool is the way that the music progresses, as does the attraction. You know, I don't know, I'm sure that there are plenty of people who would disagree, but for me, I feel like the attraction really kind of goes from, we're going to be really creepy at the beginning, you know, and by really creepy, I mean the epitome of the creepiness comes at the very beginning of the attraction to me. So, you know, you hit the stretching room, you go through the, you know, the last bit of the queue there, and those first few scenes are very ethereal. And then the ballroom is the transition point between that creepiness. And like you said, it's got that, you know, that very different feel at that point to the music. And I like it because, like you said, it is a little bit, I guess maybe intimate is a good word there. But at the same time, it's still a little bit off. Because, you know, you've got a couple of notes here and there that aren't the right note. They're played like a half step down.
I love that. That was going to be the next thing I wanted to talk about, is the fact that they, the no matter what, they invoke that creepiness with those wrong notes.
Yes. Or, you know, just like smashing like four notes instead of a note.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it becomes that transition into, you know, the party, the punchy jamboree scene, which is weird because it's in the middle of a graveyard. You've got, you know, heads popping out at you and things like that. But it still just doesn't, to me, just doesn't seem scary. It seems fun at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Something I feel like is creepy though, and creepy the whole way through, is Paul Frees.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Paul Frees was just, he was an awesome pick to be the ghost host.
The only person who I've heard read the ghost host that I thought could have done it, maybe, you know, not necessarily better, was Pat Carroll. Ursula from Little mm-hmm. Mermaid. She read it 2 years ago at a fan convention, and she killed it.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know. I mean, I look at Paul Frees and I say, that is the ghost host voice, but how much of that is because that is the ghost host voice?
Right.
You know, it's kind of a chicken and the egg sort of problem there. But regardless of how that plays out, there's no way that you make the argument that, you know, he didn't do a good job as the ghost host. And, you know, I remember hearing you know, the different scratch tracks that he did while, you know, trying out different stuff, you know, hitting on different things. And there was a lot of work that went into, you know, getting that perfect mixture there of that sound. And yeah, now you just, to me, you can't separate his voice. That's something that kind of, I don't know if scares me is the right term, but, you know, for example, they did the re-recording of the Spaceship Earth soundtrack, which I think has actually been re-recorded at least twice.
I think they're on, I think they're on narrator number 4.
Yeah, so I was about to say, it could even be more than that. You know, I can specifically think of 3 different narrations that I've heard. So, you know, but at the same time, that attraction has also been refurbed and updated. I don't see that happening where stuff is totally changed in the Haunted Mansion. So hopefully they'll have no reason to ever do anything other than the soundtrack they've got right there right now.
Yeah.
Because there's always My Way Out. That could be one of the creepiest. That may be the creepiest scene for me in the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. That Little Leota at the end. Hurry back. That creeps me out.
That creeps you out?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, man. She's just reminding you to bring your death certificate.
Yeah. It's just her voice in that very breathy, you know, way just is kind of creepy.
And again, that's, again, chicken and the egg sort of problem. But I think that they made the right pick there with, you know, the voice actress there as well, which was, who did the voice there? Eleanor Headley, I want to say, and I may be totally off base. I'm going to leave that up to you to figure out. You can go look that up. But yeah, that voice was so well picked. And here's the thing. I know that voice was well picked because Disney went and showed me the other way it could have gone when they put Jennifer Tilly as Leota in the Haunted Mansion movie.
Yeah. It's Eleanor Audley.
Eleanor Audley. Well, I was well
you
within the ballpark.
Very close. Very, very close.
So Eleanor Audley versus Jennifer Tilly. Jennifer Tilly, I don't think would scare me doing a little hurry back at the end. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And, you know, and Leota also does a good job just in the, you know, in the seance room itself. You know, saying things that if said in a different manner could just be totally ludicrous and ridiculous. Again, feeling a little bit creepy there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it the seance room is fun because she's floating,
mm-hmm.
And it's a very well done, it's a practical effect, and it's very, very well done. And I think if you really focus on her and listen to what she's saying, the fact that it's literally a floating ball.
Yes.
With her head in it, again, adds to the creep factor. And do you know how that's done?
I think is the ball hanging on a string?
My understanding is that it is now. I don't remember. I don't know what it was before, but my understanding is now it's like 3 or 4 strings, and then it's front projected onto the ball.
Now, are you sure that it's still front projected? Because I remember a refurb. I remember hearing about the talk of a refurb to move that to actually being projected from the inside.
Mm.
Because the old version was front projected.
It could be.
I'm pretty sure.
I wasn't really able to find a lot on that.
Yeah. So, you know, because you also have front projection on the busts. You know, in the graveyard scene where you have the formidable Thurl Ravenscroft and his band of Mellowmen.
It is not the Mellowmen.
Well, some of the Mellowmen, and often misattributed as the Mellowmen. Some of the Mellowmen.
It's actually only Thurl Ravenscroft.
Are you sure? I thought there was one other one.
Nope. It's only Thurl. And then the rest of them, it's a pickup group.
Okay, so I sounded like a fool on the podcast, and that's okay. I learned something new today. I thought I knew better. I learned to just do all my research ahead of time and print out the entire Wikipedia article like Jeremy may have done. But dang. I'm just saying.
You call me out, man.
Hey, I would be looking it up online that you printed it out. It's not a big deal. So, yes, Thurl Ravenscroft and his pickup group. You know, as we talk about the music and the sounds, and again, I know we started out talking about Grim Grinning Ghosts, but I feel like we have to come back around to this as we begin, you know, because we're talking about Paul Frees, Eleanor Audley, and then the, you know, I don't even know. I know that Paul Frees would be the most recognizable voice from the Haunted Mansion.
Definitely.
But
without question.
Yeah, but I would be hard-pressed to say whether or not number two, I would almost say number two would be Thurl Ravenscroft and not Eleanor Audley, you know?
You think?
Well, because I feel like people have heard, I feel like people have heard Grim Grinning Ghosts that may not have ever been on that attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of the attraction, I don't think anyone's ever heard Leota speak.
Yeah, you're right. Because, yeah, Thurl Ravenscroft is on the, you know, the recorded version of that song. Right.
Right.
And, yeah, Leota doesn't really... You're right. Outside of the attraction, there is no Leota.
Yeah, so... You know, but at the same time, I mean, I know for Disney people like us, it's very easy to say that it's a dead heat. But I think outside of that, Thurl Ravenscroft, you know, because again, that song makes up the Haunted Mansion.
Yep.
And, you know, I love that, you know, you had this awesome melody and then you've also got, I think, didn't Exotencio write the lyrics for that song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So, You've got these great lyrics that he came up with that just, they make the whole thing bouncier, if that makes any sense. They make the whole song bouncier to me.
They really set that, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but yeah, bouncy. They set that rhythm.
Yes.
That rhythm is set by the lyrics, not the music.
You know, and I love the fact that you said that rhythm. And just so so you guys know, while this is an audio podcast, Jeremy and I actually do this through video so that we know when the other guy's about to talk or something. And, you know, Jeremy was bouncing his head as he says, the bounciness, that rhythm. And the reason why I think that's amusing is because I think about, you know, Thurl and the rest of the crew, you know, when they actually went to go record, how hard must it have been to get stuck. So they initially were not supposed to be the heads, I think, for the busts. But when the director saw them singing it, he felt like they had enough, and you know, he felt like they had the animation and stuff necessary. So they recorded the track, then they bring them back in to actually do the video for that track. And in order to get their heads to project onto the bust, you can't move your head at all, because if you move your head, you're going to be off the bust and the bust is fixed. So they, you know, so they put their heads into this vice type thing so that they would not be able to move their heads at all.
Dude, I can't even listen to Grim Grinning Ghosts without bouncing around.
Exactly. Exactly. And these guys were forced to sit, you know, to sing, to move their faces around. And just would have not been a fun trip for me. Would not have been a fun thing for me to do. I know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the wow, that song, you know, I don't know. So here's a question on a grander scale, thinking about Disney. Okay, so let's just say out of the Magic Kingdom, would that be the most recognizable track to you for Magic Kingdom? Or where would that fall, do you think?
For Magic Kingdom, I think that would be number two.
Behind
Splash Mountain.
Okay.
I think because Splash Mountain, especially at the Magic Kingdom, is a 10-minute attraction, and I'm blanking on the name, but that
Zippity
song,
Doodah.
Yeah, Zippity Doodah repeats pretty constantly through that whole thing, and that has a lot more staying power in my brain than Grim Grinning Ghost does, but it certainly, I mean, aside from Splash Mountain, it is certainly the most recognizable track for me.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny, like Splash Mountain had left my head. Now I'm having a hard time because before that I would have definitely said Haunted Mansion and Grim Grinning Ghost, but yeah, Zippity-Doo-Dah. But I will also say that Zippity-Doo-Dah, even though Disney pretends like it didn't now, did have a movie backing it up with that, you know, with that soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, up until when was the Haunted Mansion movie? Like, was that the 90s or early 2000s?
I think it was, I'm going to look it up, but
you're going to cheat.
I'm pretty sure it was mid 2003.
Okay. Yeah. So late 90s, early 2000s, that all kind of runs together for me. Yeah. So up until that point, you know, Haunted Mansion did not have a movie backing it. Though you can make the same argument that since 80 something, neither has Splash Mountain, but yeah, I think it would be one of those two that you would come out. I guess the question is, what would you come out whistling at the end of the day?
And
Zippity Doo Dah has whistling sections. Yeah, so
I know what you want me to say, but it's Zippity Doo Dah.
No, that's okay. I'm really okay with that. Because honestly, for me, I think it would come down to whatever I rode last.
Yeah, I think so too. But, I mean, if I rode Splash Mountain at 9 a.m. and I rode Haunted Mansion at 4 p.m., I'm going to be... And especially since I have a very like good, an intimate connection with both of those songs. I can sing both of them from the top of my head. Like, I don't need to have ridden either of those attractions to know the songs. So it's definitely for me, whatever I rode last, just because I know them already.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and I think that's something that not, you know, well, I don't think, I know that's something that not every Disney attraction has.
Mm-hmm.
Because, are you really sure that that's, because let me just go ahead and throw in there, It's a Small World.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that would have to fit in there as well. But, okay, so you've got It's a Small World, Splash Mountain, and Haunted Mansion that really have these songs that, you know, just permeate their experience. But at the same time, if I ask you, what's the song for Space Mountain?
It's funny. I love, like, if I'm listening to the Disney's official Walt Disney World album, I love the Space Mountain song. I will listen to that. I will turn it up. The guitar is great. It's super catchy. I could not tell you what it sounds like. If I'm not listening to it, couldn't tell you. Like,
right.
It does not have the staying power that is Small World, Splash Mountain, and Haunted Mansion do.
Right. And that to me is the trick. That is the secret, is, you know, and the reason that I took a real long pause there as I was trying to think of what attraction I was going to bring up is because I do feel like, you know, so Space and Big Thunder are at a little bit of a disadvantage because the type of attraction they are does not lend themselves well to having a soundtrack, you know, permeate their attraction and have you notice it, because you're kind of busy focused on the fact that you're riding on a roller coaster.
Right, and being scared.
Yes. But, you know, at the same time, I would say that, you know, the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, I know that at some point they play the Winnie the Pooh song.
Right.
I don't know if it permeates the attraction. I don't know what other... You know what? They don't. I know that they don't now, because I can think in the rain scene, I think they play the Rain, Rain, Rain Came Down, Down, Down.
They cycle through Winnie the Pooh songs in that attraction.
Yeah. But again, so what it comes back to is, I think the Haunted Mansion just, it doesn't stand apart from every attraction, but it stands in a very small list of attractions that the soundtrack is a single score, as you said, that kind of puts it all together, and that really sets that attraction apart.
Mm-hmm.
it would not be the same. It would not be anywhere near the same attraction minus that track.
Yeah, I don't know of any other attraction at Walt Disney World or Disneyland or anywhere really that uses the soundtrack in the same way that Haunted Mansion does. It is very, very focused. The experience of that attraction is very, very built around that song.
Yeah, and I can tell you right now, you know, after we get done recording this, I'm probably going to go and check out the music from the from Splash Mountain, because I'm interested to find out now, because I feel like Splash Mountain is more of just playing Zippity Doodah over and over again, with, you know, taking an orca, you know, instrumental verses with voices and different voices being put in. But I feel like for the most part, that feels like the same track throughout the attraction.
Well, I think it's an 8.5 minute loop. Again, if you listen to Disney's official theme park albums, you can get it. And other than right after the big drop, when you're riding past the paddle boat,
mm-hmm.
Zippity Doodah is not in there.
Right.
The entire buildup up to the big drop, there is no Zippity Doodah. You know, that's not in there.
Right. But my point is, like you said, it's on an 8.5 minute loop. So essentially I guess that to me is the thing that makes Haunted Mansion. And, you know, I feel like I'm really trying to rally hard for the Haunted Mansion soundtrack at this point. But to me, I guess that's what differentiates the Haunted Mansion, is you don't have that progression of the foyer to the ballroom to the, you know, to the graveyard, where it's like a totally different setup, you know, and just the varied methods of, you know, the pounding away of the organ, mm-hmm. versus the singing of the song versus, you know, we didn't even hit on the band playing in the graveyard,
mm-hmm.
where they're tapping on stones, and to get the creepy quality, they actually play a flute, you know, backwards. The track is, you know, where they're playing it backwards in order to get the track to get that creepy quality, mm-hmm. coming out of that woodwind.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone could say that there is any attraction at a Disney park that values music more than the Haunted Mansion. And I think that the music sets it apart. I think that is one of the most aurally rich attractions at a Disney park. I think just as much as there is to see on that attraction, there's just that much to hear. You know, and I would even say that riding through the Haunted Mansion with your eyes closed may be just as enjoyable as riding through the Haunted Mansion with your eyes open.
Hmm. Yeah, now I've got something to try next time.
Yeah.
We're in the parks, you know. Or, you know, go find somebody who's done a nice ride audio recording of, because it, you know, and that's the thing, it's not just the soundtrack as you're riding through. It's also picking up on, you know, I think especially at the beginning where you've got the, you know, the clock dinging at,
mm-hmm.
you know, the doors rattling. All of those things, I think, play very much into that first section. And then, you know, Leota, the not just her speaking, but also the sounds of the instruments,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of playing in the background. All of those things that make up the, I guess, rich tapestry that becomes the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. And when I, you know, when I say you could enjoy it as much, I also think that there's no way that you would not know where you are in there. You know, like the music is so very indicative of the area you're in that, you know, I think I'm rambling here, but just the music is so good. Like,
yes,
it's, and again, just so good.
And again, you could make the same argument about about Winnie the Pooh Dark Ride,
right?
But the big difference there is the reason why you'll know what part you're in is because it's going to be which song is playing, in Haunted Mansion, it's which variation of the right. same song is playing.
Right.
And that's what's cool to me.
At the end of the year when I'm there, I'm definitely going to, do a lot of listening on that ride. Cause now my interest has peaked.
Yep. Well, you can convince your wife to let you ride it at least twice. Let's be honest, you're going to want to ride it, you know, 5 or 6 times, but
at least
twice, and, you know, do it once with your eyes closed and see what it brings.
Yeah.
I think that could be really cool.
And I think that'll about wrap it up for this week. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. And we would love to hear from our listeners on Twitter, just about how you like the show, what you want us to talk about in the future,
what you want us to stop doing.
Yeah.
If we're doing something that annoys you, let us know.
Yeah. And just, you know, I think Brad and I both really like, Twitter. It's a really easy way for you to get in contact with us. And, I think it would be fun to have some conversations about, you know, Disney. It's something that Brad and I really love. And if you're taking the time to listen to a podcast about Disney, I think you probably love Disney too. So, we are, you know, at MTMPODCAST, and just, drop us an at reply and let us know how we're doing. We're also on Facebook at Missing the Mouse, and our website is, missingthemouse.co. So you guys have a great week. We will be back next week with another episode, and have a magical day.